Good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry I don't have golf balls for each of you. You know, so much of life is about process. From the time that you're born, you experience what it feels like to go through a process. You first learn the feeding process, one of my favorites. What it means to bring food to your mouth, chew, and swallow. You start with veggie and fruit mush, working your way through the process of finally eating solid food. Next comes the process of taking steps. First you crawl, then you walk. Next comes assisted walking. You take steps on your own until you can walk readily across the floor. Process doesn't end there as you begin to run and do faster movements. Riding a tricycle leads to riding a bicycle with training wheels, which leads to eventually riding full speed down a hill on your own bike. Even when you finish that process, you're really just beginning a new process of learning to drive. For some, there's processes that lie between those steps, where you begin processes of riding maybe a four-wheeler, a tractor, a snowmobile. Even after you've done that, before that, you get to the process of what it means to make friends. You begin finding that one friend that you're truly willing to share your favorite toy with. Then you begin by finding other friends through similar life experiences, common interests, circumstances of setting, and you build more and more relationships and friendships until you find that one friend that more than simply sharing a toy, you're willing to share the rest of your life with. Around that same time, many are ending or nearing the end, the education process, where you move from learning what letters are and how to spell your first name all the way to figuring out complicated math formulas, the basics of economics, world history, forms of communication and literature, and all along the way in the education process, you find yourself learning the scientific process. How an observation forms into a question that forms into a hypothesis that's tested as an experiment, the data of which is analyzed to form a conclusion, and back around and around in more processes. Processes like these are no sooner mastered than you graduate from high school. Some go on to college, others go straight into the workforce where a new process begins. The process raging up the career ladder, going up, finding your way to the process of planning for retirement, enjoying the process of relaxation, and finding the process of new hobbies to enjoy. Even reflecting in the process of planning for the day when you leave this world and go home to be with God. We live lives of process, and as we go about each step in the process, we are often faced or concerned with the next step. What is the next step? Sometimes in a process, we can be so concerned with what the next step is that we forget about the step that we're on. Sometimes we get so concentrated on the step that we are on that we forget that there is, in fact, a next step. Just like life, our walk with God, the pattern of processes stays the same. Following Christ is not found for a believer wrapped up in only an event or just in a moment of time. It's truly a lifelong process of becoming more like Christ. So often as believers, we forget to look for and to strive for our next step. We get comfortable in the life that we live in completing the daily process of our 24-hour rotation around this blue and green ball of dirt, that the next day we find ourselves right where we began. Romans chapter 8 starts out by saying, therefore. And in any good study of God's word, when you see therefore, you ask the question, what is it therefore? And we see that this fit, for this therefore, there is a purpose. Because it says, therefore now. The purpose of this therefore is to say that you have begun the process. You have started. Romans speaks of the beginning of our faith and the peace and hope that we find in Christ. It speaks of what Jesus did on the cross and in His resurrection, how Jesus has set us free from sin, how Christ has bound us to serve Him in a new way of the Spirit, how in Christ Jesus' death on the cross, we can now be dead to sin and start a new life in Christ. But in that new life, we battle still with the process of becoming more like Christ. And it truly is a process that lasts from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. It's a process that will last for the rest of our lives, but it's a process that Jesus, in fact, began. We pick up in the beginning of Romans chapter 8 where it says, Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. So He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, in this start of Romans chapter 8, we see this process that we are on, God finished. As we begin to go about this process of taking next steps, we realize that the process of becoming more like Christ, the process of us trying to be more like Jesus, God has already opened up the door. He's already presented the opportunity. He's already made it available for us. This process that we're going to be going about isn't a process that we try to earn what we're going to get. It isn't a process of trying to do this so that we get our reward, so that we earn our trophy, so that we win our prize. Because if it was up to us, we'd be left in the dust. But we still walk in this process. This process of becoming more like Jesus in every day, in every way. By our speech, by our actions, by our thoughts, we strive to be more and more like Christ. And we realize that Christ is enough. What Jesus did on the cross is what has opened the door. What Christ has given in grace is more than we could ever hope for or imagine. It's an invitation into relationship with Him. And that is free and open to all. So what is our part of the process? What is our next step in the process? It's twofold. First, we see in Romans chapter 8, in the beginning of Romans chapter 8, we see that the first step in the process is to live free. Live free. And no, this is not a movie series that we're going to be going off about, Live Free or Die Hard, or Die Hard and Live Free, or something with helicopters and explosions. We see that first we live free with the joy of being set free from sin. There's joy found in new life. When was the last time that you really thanked God for the salvation that He has given you? When's the last time that you've allowed yourself to look at all that God has done and be overwhelmed with the fact that you are not now who you were before. In Psalm 126, verse 3, the psalmist writes, when thinking about the wars that have been won on the battlefield, he sings, "Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy." If the psalmist can write here about wars waged for a city and the joy that comes from a victory, how much more should we have that joy inside of us for a victory in the war waged for our souls? How much joy do we have over the fight that's been fought for us? There's joy in the good times, and as our adult Sunday school classes probably already figured out and discovered, and they're looking through the book of James, in the hard times, there's cause for rejoicing as well. James 1, verse 2 through 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you go through trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work," or complete the process, "so that you may be made mature and complete, not lacking anything." Yes, some days are hard. Yes, there are times when the road is difficult. But when we look at it in the context of what we've been given, how much joy is there to find? We can have joy in the fact that Romans 6:23 reminds us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's the second thing that we see here, is that we live with the peace of being set free from the penalty of death. We have been found, we have been rescued, we have been saved, not from an uncomfortable situation, not from an unpleasant situation. It's not rescued into merely a better than lifestyle. Because we have Jesus, the way we do things is better than your way. The title of Christian makes it better than you. We weren't rescued into that. We were rescued out of death into life. Have you ever cheated death? It can be a scary question. It can be a question that sometimes brings about chuckles. It can be a question that sometimes mom's heart grow faint when they see their sons or daughters going, Have you ever done anything so irresponsible that really, for a second, you thought you were going to die, but you came out of the other side alive? I had a friend in high school that wasn't the best driver. And as things usually go, usually the worst driver is the one that ends up driving. And I remember one night we were coming back down from seeing a movie in Indianola, Iowa, coming down Highway 69. If you're familiar with that part of our state or that road, it's a little windy. My friend was going around a corner, probably a little faster than he should have been going, and he found out that a semi was also on that road. After swirling to miss the semi and spinning because we lost control, our first reaction was to be a little upset at our friend. But almost immediately, all of us in the car began laughing, began chuckling. We knew at that moment we shouldn't be there. But who knows how we were alive. And for that moment of terror, that moment of knowing that our lives were not in our hands, we gained a greater appreciation for life. We found joy in the little things, even if it was just on the ride home. Sometimes it takes being this close. Sometimes it takes the reminder of knowing that our lives are not our own. In Romans, we get that reminder. For the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Folks, we were this close to death. We were one stone rolled away from death. We were one decision for the perfect lamb being led to slaughter to be silent instead of speaking up and defending himself in the face of unearned condemnation, sentencing to death. We were that close from death. The gift of God. Jesus Christ on the cross. We have cheated death. We don't deserve to be here, but by the grace of God, we find ourselves alive. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Live with the peace of being set free from the penalty of death. The third thing we see in this is that we live with the knowledge that this is only by the power of Jesus Christ. Part of the process of becoming more like Christ is living with the realization that this wasn't by our own hands. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." As people, we can find that hard to admit. And when I say, as people, we can find that hard to admit, I mean, I can find that hard to admit. It's saying that I couldn't make it on my own. It's saying that this gift that I've been given, I haven't earned. This reward I haven't worked for. It's saying that my life is not my own, it's in Jesus' hands. I want to fix my own problems. I wish that I could do it all on my own. But it's by grace that I have life. It isn't from what I've done or who I've been. And thank the Lord, because if it was, we couldn't stand before you today. It's a gift of God. Gift of love that Jesus offered himself so that we can have life. So we're charged to live freely with joy, knowing that you are alive because of the power of Jesus Christ. In our freedom, we must be aware, though. In our release from the penalty of death and our bondage from sin, it's our freedom from the law that Romans 8 reminds us of. In that release from condemnation, we must remember that freedom from one does not mean freedom from all. We put down the law of death, but we pick up the law of the Spirit, the law of life. It continues, live free by the Spirit. We're reminded that we no longer live by the flesh. Ephesians chapter 4 instructs us, for those who have heard about Jesus Christ, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through the deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And there following, we see listed out the ways that our lives will in fact change by knowing Jesus Christ. We'll change in the ways that we interact with others, in the words that come out of our mouths, the life that we lived. It's all changed by taking off our old self and putting on the Spirit, binding ourselves to the law of the Spirit, the law of life, living with Christ Jesus. We live by the changing guidance of the Holy Spirit. We live knowing that we don't have all the directions, we don't have all the answers, but Christ has given us an advocate, a helper, to be able to guide us, to be there for us, to be able to know and discern, to be able to see Scripture and to read what His will is for our life, and to pray with Him and to feel His hand at work in our lives. We are guided by the Holy Spirit, and we see in our lives the times when we don't understand, the times when we can't connect the dots, but we see God has been working behind the scenes and pushing us and prodding us and sometimes making us go places that we wouldn't normally go or do things that we wouldn't normally do except for the courage that is given through God. We are free to live in relationship with God our Father through His Holy Spirit, given by the gift of Jesus Christ the Son. When Jesus comes, when He gives Himself to us on the cross as a sacrifice, He rises again on the third day and He says, "Guys, I'm not going to stay with you much longer. I'm going so that you can receive the Holy Spirit, and when you do, it's going to be amazing." And we get to receive that. We get to live in a relationship with God through His Spirit that's alive and burning inside of us. All because of what Jesus Christ did. All because of the love that He had to search for us, to find us when we were lost, when we were broken. Becoming more like Christ is a life long process. God has finished the process. He's given us His Son, who has done the work of going to the cross, coming out of the grave. Some of Jesus' last words were, "It is finished." We are not. Romans 7:15 through 21 says, "I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good, and it is. It is no longer I myself who do it, but the sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living inside me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me." Living for Christ is a lifelong process. This is written years after his conversion to committing to follow Christ. It's after he's led the church for years. It's after he's written letters and directed people to know Christ. It's after he's baptized people. It's after he's led hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. It's after he's gone on missions trips. It's after he's done amazing things. And he still says, hey, I'm messed up. We all find ourselves in the spiral of not wanting to do what we do and messing up when we told ourselves we wouldn't this time. We all need a Savior, and we each need to be made new. Will you today choose to take the next step in your faith, whatever that may be? Maybe it's giving your life to Christ for the first time. Maybe it's choosing to live today by God's Spirit, to put off your old desires. Maybe it's allowing Christ for the first time in a long time to continue the process, making you more like Him. I pray that we'll each choose today to take the next step. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for the time that we have.